Welcome to Knockcast, episode 259. I'd tap those planes.
You're using that?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, what would you suggest?
What was the...
What was it?
Earth Mother.
Oh, sorry.
I'd walk with that Earth Mother.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Fuzz is away, so we're going to talk about games we play.
Vidya games.
I'm Saren.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Sarah.
We're borrowing him for a little bit tonight.
Yep.
Because, you know,
we'll be
video
here for
games.
Segment one, but not for segment two, because he has homework.
Yep. It's cool, bitch.
Yeah, so, it's been an exciting week in term of Vidya, and San Diego Comic-Con is already underway.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Because there's shit, neat shit coming
there's
out.
There's neat
from...
shit coming out. Apparently, Warcraft, the movie, has a logo.
Ooh.
Except the font they used has been used in a lot of other games and movies, so it's like...
Yeah, it's kind of whatever. I'm not holding on any hope for the movie.
Oh, no, no.
Like any other video game movie.
Yeah, well, I have absolutely no signal in your apartment. That's amazing.
So, yeah, the movie is might have something more, but it's kind of unlikely. Yeah. They're doing a BlizzCon this year, so if they're going to show off anything movie-wise, they're probably going to show it off there.
Yep.
I showed off the box art for the next expansion.
Include with super nipple ring detail.
If I can find it.
Oh, for Warlords?
For Warlords.
They posted the box art.
Nipple rings!
Bashiok posted that, there it is.
Bashiok also posted pictures of the weapons. That's kind of cool.
There's...
What is he doing?
Box art.
Oh, yeah.
It looks pretty good, but it's, you know, it's still just... You know, an orc.
It's a big brown orc.
Yep.
But it's not Garrosh.
No.
Unless it is Garrosh. I don't know.
No, it's not Garrosh.
It's too red to be Garrosh.
It's Grommash.
No, it's Grommash. It's
his
daddy.
Dad.
It's daddy.
It was actually more of a badass.
Daddy dearest. And
yes.
With his massive nipples.
And
hang on, I need to redirect that.
Yes, it's all about the nipples. And yeah, they released the new female Tauren. This is going to generate a fantastic new slew of Tauren porn, I'm sure.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Tauren have always been drawn way hotter in the porn than they have in the...
Than they look in game.
Than they look in game. They look... Well, they're a fucking 2004 model. They've never gotten
any love whatsoever.
But, yeah.
You know, you can count the fucking polygons on the original model.
There was a lot of talk in the comments on it about whether or not it was too feminine or not feminine enough.
I find it about right.
I'm like, it's pretty spot on.
It looks good to me. I mean, the old Tauren female didn't look very feminine at all because it was so just low poly.
It looked like something.
I mean, and this is coming from me. I'm like, I've played Janeth since fucking vanilla. I actually was digging through my drawers and I found the $2 14-day free trial disc they put out in 2005.
God.
That was my poison pill that got me hooked.
You poison. Found that?
Yeah, it's in that drawer over there. And yeah, it's like, I remember running through fucking barrens, going out to Camp Tarjo, realizing, hey, I'm level 20. Oh, look at that. All the stuff around me level 20. Oh, I can't level higher than 20. Shoot.
Yep. Looks like I'm buying a game.
Yeah. Yeah, playing fucking shamans. I always seem to pick the redheaded stepchild class in almost any game I play.
I do the same.
Tauren shamans? Redheaded stepchild?
Shamans have always been kind of a redheaded stepchild class.
Mm. No, back in vanilla,
it was
Ellie shamans before they got nerfed were badass.
Ellie shamans now are pretty fucking amazing.
Well, shamans now are alright. But they spent a good time while not in a good place.
Yeah, they kind of fucked them over hard in Kata. Our enhancement shaman.
Oh my god.
Our enhancement shaman in our raid is a.
What do you mean,
beast.
Wind?
Yeah, Wind. He is a complete beast. I can't keep up with his DPS. I can on certain fights, on multi dot fights, but that's just because I play a boomkin and, well, that's just real easy. But.
Having, you know, and kind of medics in Wildstar are kind of the same way. They're not the best at DPS, and they're nerfing their healing. So it's kind of like, eh. They still have a lot of class balance to do in that game.
Yeah.
Both the heavy armor classes are the top DPS right now. Which is
So tanks are top DPS?
Yeah, engineers and warriors are the top DPS in the game right now.
In Wildstar?
Whereas, like, the clothies, which you would expect to have higher DPS, because, you know, there's that trade-off. Nope.
They're just squishy.
Yeah, medics were the top DPS in the beta, and then they nerfed them into the ground.
Yeah, well, that's usually how it works. Whoever the OP gets nerfed the hardest.
Yep.
Except warlocks. Warlocks will always and forever be OP.
Yes, warlocks are everything.
Yeah. Warlocks are forever just god DPS. It's so stupid.
So I'm not even yet cap in Wildstar right now. I'm still level 48.
Wow.
I've taken sweet time.
I was going to say, it's been a while. I would have expected you to be at cap by now.
Well, the thing is, I didn't have my computer for like 3 weeks.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And, you know, the leveling is still pretty slow.
They haven't nerfed it yet.
No, they haven't. Which is fine. I mean, it probably takes you about as long to get a fresh non-heirloom character in WoW to 90 that it takes to get to 50. I'm level 48, and you have to do a fuck ton of quests to get the last little bit.
Yeah, I played Beta Wildstar. It was fun. I want to play it, but I don't want to play it because I don't have enough time. But
yeah,
I've got beta access to Warlords, and so I'm gonna hopefully once school is done with this class I'm in.
So me and Tesser we've duoed our characters. That's why I'm not a cap yet, because we were like, all right, we're gonna make sure that we level in parity, and so. But I have like an alt who's like 20.
Mm.
And it's been a lot of fun to just duo. It's a neat universe, it's a neat world, the quests. I mean, it's fucking MMO questing.
Yeah. Plenty of time to explore.
Plenty of time to explore, but you basically have to run, you know, around a good chunk of the map to get the quests. Mm. One of the things I'm not terribly thrilled with is, like, each of the zones is basically split in half. So, like, White Veil, it's the third zone you go to. It's the, like, 25-35.
Yeah.
And when you get to it, on Dominion side, well, all of your quests are on the west side of the map. If you're Exile side, all of your quests are on the east side of the map. And never the twin shall meet.
Oh.
And
that's odd.
Things are cool.
Being brought in.
Mm-hmm. Panther has entered the room and has brought in a Tribella wine aerator. It was something we kickstarted.
Hmm. I don't think Panther did wine.
No. It's actually intended as a gift for some other people, but it's designed to aerate your wine. I don't really know what that does.
It kind of
makes it taste better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came in a nice little case.
Glasses.
Well, you know how when you freshly open wine and it's got that really kind of heavy alcohol taste?
Yeah.
That kind of bleeds off as you let it breathe. Okay. Aerators help speed up that mellowing.
This is it's the Walla Walla edition. It was their limited edition once. Like, one person canceled right at the end, and I was able to get it.
Oh, wow.
There was no actual price difference between that and the actual regular one they're putting out, but it's the special edition.
So fancy.
Yeah.
So,
But in Wildstar, they've really not. I mean, they do play up the conflict in certain parts, but the vast majority of the time is not spent fighting the other faction, even NPCs. Mm. So, like,
so it's not all PvE, PvP.
Well, not even that. I'm playing on a PvE server, but, like, even in the storyline of the game, the conflict between the Dominion and the Exiles is not really on the forefront.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's there, but you only really have to kill a bunch of Exile NPCs in, like, one area that I can really recall. The rest of it is, you know, you're fighting the various indigenous races.
Monsters.
Or the space pirates, or, you know, hey, look, it's space Nessingwary. Kill the fuck out of these. Not kill the fuck out of these. Kill the fuck out of these. Oh, pick me some cactus apples.
Really?
Not even shitting you.
Maybe you and Tess don't have this issue because you're duoing. One thing I'll hear from, like, the other room, like, Siam start raging.
Oh, man.
Cussing.
And he'll be, like, sitting there fighting, and he's fighting a monster. And then because it's, like, AoE attacks, somebody will drag crap over the top of him. He hits it, scrapes it off on him, and he dies, and then they take your quest monster.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Since apparently they have no protection over if You're doing, because all your attacks are AoE pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no really auto-attacking.
No, there's no auto-attack.
Yeah, it's so, all spamming AoE constantly. And so, like, he was just doing his normal, like, close-range cone attacks, and then just, drag shit on top, and it's kind of like, fuck you, got mine.
And yeah, I mean, that happens, and it really depends on what class he's playing, because some classes are...
Stalker, I think.
Okay, so he's playing the Rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that those guys, they're really good, but they die pretty quick once they run out of juice. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Rogue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of like a Rogue.
You run out of juice and you don't have combo points.
Sitting late.
Oh, man.
So it's just like, well, hope you have your, they have a particular ability on your bar that restores a little bit of power, because you're just going to, like, your cheap-ass Wolverine claw attack that does fuck all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the game is cool. It does kind of go towards the, oh, shit, it's evil, you know, where in WoW you had the Kuraji.
Yeah.
The last couple zones were, oh, fuck, it's full of bugs.
Yeah.
In WildStar, it's basically, oh, fuck, it's this biological, this crazy-ass biovirus that's taking over, aka, then, whatever.
There's a secret on Nexus. Because, like, oh my god, the fucking Twitch ads for that goddamn game.
They're constant.
We're fucking constant.
Oh, and you know the whole, like, little twitchy bug arm things?
Yeah.
There's fucking twitchy fucking WildStar strain pods and whatever. It's not a bad thing. The visuals are pretty cool. It's a neat game. But you can totally see that these guys, yeah, we started and stopped in vanilla WoW in terms of our zone aesthetic. The zone right before where we're at is... Hey, welcome to Tanaris, except it's a lot more vertical.
Mm. Yeah, because there's a lot of platforming. Like, they really encourage platforming.
Oh, and there's a lot of things you can get to while platforming, too. I mean, they actually do make that a lot of fun.
Yeah, well.
And there's lots of neat places you can get up to and get good views of. I mean, they have a very vertical map design in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you get to Malgrave, which is the Tanaris XP. It's a desert place. The first place you end up is a neutral town where you're working for the Lop.
Who runs Butter Town? Yeah.
Well, the first town is the Lop. It's the little bunny people, which are cute as shit.
And kill you.
It's like, Lop know when to ask for big people for help. Help! You know, is one of the things. They all have little lines. And then the next town is the Protostar. The space goblins, the race, their race of clones.
No, I mean, because doesn't WildStar have a bunch of WoW devs? Like every, yeah, it seems like every new MMO is made up of some of the people from the creators of World of Warcraft. You know, like some of the devs.
Yeah, Carbine that worked on WoW. A lot of devs that worked on vanilla WoW. Yeah. They didn't go through BC or anything later. But,
like, I could probably name a few more MMOs or MMO game type games that have creators from WoW. In them.
Yeah.
Firefall, which has actually got its real release this week.
That's such a pretty game.
That game has been coming out for fucking ever.
Yeah, they had to, like, forcibly remove the CEO, the original, like, I think his name's, like, Mark Kern. They, like, had to forcibly remove him from power halfway through development.
Why?
Because he's a shit, apparently.
And that's like the jetpack.
Yeah,
yeah. It's kind of like it's basically somebody took tribes and like an MMO and then went shmoosh.
That's cool.
It's really pretty. It's really, really fun. Or at least it was the last time I played it. I actually need to log on.
Yeah.
Because you get, since I was in the original whatever, and I did their like founders campaign thing, you get a bunch of free stuff.
In game stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna mention something that came up with toxicity in games is a big deal, and
that's just being an asshole for the layman.
Yeah, for being a total twat monkey,
being a dick.
Yep, don't be a dick. But League of Legends recently came out with a new policy about that they're gonna start implementing like this last week, and it was really big. Everybody kind of got in a tizzy about it, ooh, because they said 14-day and permaban, 14-day bans and permabans are going to start being handed down if you're racist, extremely toxic, or homophobic in chat. and they're gonna like automatic instant retribution. Like just boom, you're like not like mid game, but at the end of the game you're gone.
Yeah.
Like and you
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of like, and also they said on top of that, they're going to be naming and shaming and posting the chat logs if you contest it. Because if you contest it and it's, and you're contesting it is bullshit, like you called somebody a faggot on in game, you're gone. And they're going to post the chat log with your name and be like, deal with it. And yeah. You're permabanned. Bye.
That's actually pretty fair. See,
I don't mind them posting it. One, it's also, it's naming and shaming. But like I said to him, that also gives somebody, like, okay, say something happens and you get a ban. And you go, what? You know, look. And they name and shame you. And then the community takes a look at it and says, that's not that actually that bad. Yeah. You can then get the voice of the community saying.
Well, yeah, but it's still not up to the community.
It's still not up to the community.
Yeah, I mean, you
they
can
do
say,
have the tribunal.
Yeah, the tribunal's not working right now.
Okay.
Tribunal is it like failed horribly. Basically, it would take like a year to get a action handled because it took players reviewing stuff and it just takes too long.
Yeah.
And they need something to instantly solve the problem.
I recently watched the International, which is Dota's big tournament.
Yeah.
And I've started playing that a little bit, and it's kind of cool. I will admit that I put like $25 into my Steam wallet, and I bought a couple of things off the... I bought the Gladys announcer pack and the Bastion announcer packs.
I saw the...
if there's a Stanley Parable one, I might buy that one, too.
Yeah, there is a Stanley Parable one, and it's fucking hysterical. Like, I don't really know much about the Dota, but, I mean, I know about MOBAs in general, and the Stanley Parable one is fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
He talks so much shit.
See... I kind of grokked it. I mean, I've played a bunch of the bot matches, and
you know,
I've been on the winning side every time.
Oh, yeah, it's bots.
I'm still, like, terrible at the game, and I'm actually kind of frightened. You know, I'm kind of scared to play a real game because I know how abusive the community can be.
I'm the same way. I'm happy.
Noobs.
I mean, I love playing bot games because unless you fuck up really bad, you're not going to lose, and people don't tend to give you a lot of shit. But I'm really nervous about going out into...
Yeah, like
the public realm.
Yeah, and I totally don't mind paying 5 cents for a hat for a character I like.
Yeah.
Because of the thing.
Well, I mean, I own every single League of Legends champion, so...
Yeah.
I don't want to know how much money you spent on that.
Over time, probably a couple hundred bucks, but over...
A long period of time.
I also bought them all on sale.
Yeah.
And I bought a lot of them with IP, like the in-game currency that you earn. So, I mean, I didn't purchase with real money every single one, for sure. And I got some of them a long, long time ago, back when they were having, like, the get-into-league sales, where it was, like, $20 and get, like, 30 champions or something stupid.
And see, now that I've played Dota, and I did play League for a little bit when they did their first Mac expansion. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're doing it on a Mac, and it was not pleasant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went back to Dota 2, and I kind of can see how, like, the schema behind Heroes of the Storm is kind of bullshit.
It. I'm really kind of disappointed in Blizzard and their whole bullshit with that game.
It can always come in time, but they're too expensive.
Yeah, it's way too fucking expensive.
Yeah, the pricing scheme for Heroes of the Storm is...
It's unrealistic.
I like to hope that it's actually just Activision being like, you need to charge this much money for these things in this game, otherwise we aren't going to let you make it.
Well, that's kind of like, Blizzard hasn't quite gotten the concept of microtransactions.
Yeah.
They've got their mounts, and they've got their hats, and but they're all like $20.
Yeah, the cheapest thing you can get is a pet for $10, and
sometimes five
when it's on sale.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, $5, okay, whatever, that $5 for the pet? Sure.
It has to be a really spectacular amount for me to spend money on it, not just to have another mount.
And see, the thing is, and like in Dota, but Steam has the community, whatever it's called, the community marketplace.
Yeah.
I can go and buy a particular armor set off of the game for like $5. Or I can look for the same pieces on the marketplace and get the entire set for possibly like a quarter.
Yeah.
Because, the way they've made it so simple, you can purchase the armor shit, whatever. You can purchase UIs and whatever.
And there's, like, crafting with that, too.
Yeah, you can craft hats, basically.
Yeah, craft hats. It's like the thing with TF2, except they don't actually give you any power like they do in TF2, which is my problem with TF2.
Fair enough. spend money to get an upgrade.
Sorry, just...
Whereas this is like, hey, I think this looks cool in my hero. I mean,
it's cosmetic.
It's purely cosmetic, and I don't have a problem paying a few cents for it. That's an actual honest-to-God microtransaction. Yeah.
But the three hats and WoW are, what, $20 a pop?
The hats are $15, the mounts are $25, the pets are $10.
I admit that I was part of the problem. I bought the first Star Horse.
Yeah. I mean...
I bought the Celestial... The Stone Lion one.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically they know that they will get a certain amount of sales
because
they just like after the first one and they saw that wow that sold a million things for $25 oh that's $25 million boom oh we can make a ton of money doing this why don't we just have a little art department sit there and churn that shit out and every 3 months pop out another mount and boom there's a bunch more money.
Yep.
But they could do that for anything, though, you know. They could do a lot more little art projects and sell them for microtransactions. You know, $5 or under.
It's DLC. Yeah. You're paying $25 for DLC.
And that's ridiculous for even DLC.
I can go on Steam and buy like 5 or 6 games for $25.
Oh, yeah.
The whole game.
For $25, I can go into fucking Dota 2 and outfit probably a good... dozen to 15 characters with full armor sets.
Now, there's a couple skins on League that are like $25, but they're like whole new character model, whole new animations, whole new voiceover.
They redo the entire thing.
And there's only like two of them. It's they're doing one every year. Mm-hmm. It's like the legendary skin, I think they announced it at like the Worlds competition or something. But
they pretty much redo the entire damn character from voiceover.
I mean, if you look at Heroes of the Storm, they're doing the same thing. But that's also a problem. You're trying to get this off the fucking ground.
Start simple and get crazy shit later.
You're selling like skins that completely redo all these models.
And it's also selling shit in alpha.
Yeah.
That was something I was really.
We know you're gonna buy it. Basically, it's kind of.
You should not be selling shit in alpha and beta unless it's like the Founders Pack for.
Yeah, that was more of a hey, help us get our game off the ground.
And they were pretty blatant about it. Yeah. This is basically kind of like kickstarting. We'll give you a bunch of in-game shit.
Yeah, it was kind of their own little kickstart. That was for Firefall. You could spend. It was like 50, 75, or 100, and you'd get increasing levels of like in-game rewards that were permanent, and you got all kinds of stuff, and you got some of their in-game currency and all that stuff. But it's just kind of like,
but selling skins and armor shit and everything in alpha is kind of bullshit.
And that's the thing. It's like instead of you've made like what 30 characters, something like that. And there's, like, 3 or 4 different skins that are actually, like, different models.
Yeah.
Because, like, for Tychus, there's, like, an infested model. Yeah. And then there's something else for the Stitches. Not Stitches. Yeah. The Abomination.
I have alpha access to it. I played, like, one game once.
It might have been Stitches. I don't know.
I played one game once, and I did not enjoy it.
See, I thought it was okay, and then I kind of looked at the other systems, and then we discussed it briefly about how easy it would be for your team to get permanently fucked if one or two people are idiots.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, alright, yeah, I kind of see that. Because I saw how it could affect how individual team level matters in Dota.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in League, too, because I was watching the International and kind of figuring out how shit goes. And, yeah, there's a couple people who are going to be low level.
But they're, like, support classes.
Yeah, they're supports. They're running around putting wards down, bottling runes, and doing bullshit like that. They're not, actively combating. But in this game, you can't really have people do that.
Yeah.
Because they all need to contribute. And if they're not all contributing, then your team's going to fall behind in a really bad way.
Yeah, like in League, the support is typically 1 to 2 levels below their carry, their AD carry in their bottom lane. And it's like, I play support main, like bronze 1, so big. So big in bronze, so terrible.
I'm cardboard. Yeah. I'm cardboard League.
Yeah, it's a struggle. The struggle is real. I got from bronze 2 to bronze 1 in like one night, and it was just like, wow. I got like a really lucky win streak of like 6 wins.
Nice.
And I was just like, and I'm like, that's pretty good.
I won't dare to do that for a while.
Yeah. Well, you also have to be level 30, so yeah. That takes quite a bit of effort.
No, I bet you were basically like,
I kind of was like, man, I don't want to play League again because I used up all my luck and one-shotting my way through Bronze 2 into Bronze 1, because the way it works in League is you climb the yellow. Yeah, you go Bronze 5 through 1, Silver 5 through 1, Gold, Platinum, Grand Diamond, Challenger. Challenger just goes up forever. But those are like the pro guys. Like, you only get to Challenger if you're good enough to be on a pro team, basically.
And they're kind of sitting on the bench waiting.
Yeah. But... In League, if one person disconnects, you're going to lose. I mean, unless, like...
You're that far ahead.
Somebody put it as, like, unless the other team, like, has a brain aneurysm, like, you're gonna lose. Even if it's, like, only this... Like, if the support disconnects and it's, like, really early game and they come back later, you could still recover. But, like, if your jungler disconnects, well, you're fucked. Like...
Yeah.
Like, just if anyone of your... If anyone disconnects, you're fucked. I mean, it's just gonna end... I've played a couple all-randomal mid-games where I actually won 4v5, but it was just kind of... That's kind of a different situation.
That's random, and so nobody necessarily...
All-randomal mid. That I don't play, and I don't play League, and I don't really play Dota either, but one of the things I have in Dota is basically a character compendium, which is like, all right, hey, look, here's this, and you know, the community can put together guides on how to build your character, and it's accessible in-game.
League doesn't have that in-game. They have suggested builds for characters in-game, and you can create your put your own into the game, but and the suggested builds are usually all right. The problem is they give you, like, 3 or 4 suggestions, and only one of them is really the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you'll see somebody play a character, and be like, yeah, that's kind of a valid item, but it's really situational. Mm-hmm. Like, And I see it all the time, like, people just building weird items, and it's just like, what are you doing?
And, like, what's cool about this, and that makes it a very new friendly, you can pick up a class, pick up a character, pick one of, you know, the highest rated
guide,
and then on the right, and you go to the shop, it has, like, suggested items. Like,
yeah, build order.
Early game, mid game, you know, situational at the bottom. Yeah. But, like, even when you're using a guide, it fucking highlights, like, this is, you know, for this build order, it shows you on the drop-down. Then if you accept it, during when you level up, it'll highlight the one. It's like, all right, this is the build order. And it makes it a little bit easier.
Noob-friendly.
Make a lot more noob-friendly.
From what I've seen, from what I've touched in Dota, it's much more noob-friendly than League. I mean, you can Google the build. It's not hard. That's what I do. Every time, like, I play all-random all-mid a lot, so I get just random champion. And if it's one that I don't know that well, even if I know it, like, kind of well, I'll still just pull up the guide. I mean, there's, like, Mobifier. It's just
And builds. I think the big difference there is the fact that it's accessible in-game and does highlighting for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, and, you know, here's a suggestion. Make sure you pick up 3 iron branches, some tangos, and a potion.
Tangos. That was funny. Yeah, that was one of the things that is funny in Dota, is you can eat trees and tear down the environment around you.
And there's a couple. One thing that I really like, though, is looking at characters and thinking to myself, which Warcraft 3 unit is this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which, so like...
I watched part of the International, too, and yeah.
It's like Earthshaker, totally a Tauren.
Yeah.
Or Templar Assassin is a fucking... One of the Protoss dudes.
Yeah, or Protoss Templar. Or was it like Zealot. Brewmaster?
He's
just a fucking monk. It's a Pandaren monk.
Except, like, he's not a Pandaren. He's like a dog person.
Except he's a Pandaren monk. Yeah. like, even his ulti ability is he makes the 3 spirits, and I'm like, oh, hey, Transcendence.
See what else? There's one dude who's like straight up Arthas.
Yeah.
Up to the point, you know, he does AoE, and when he dies, his ultimate is he comes back immediately. No, but of course you can, generally if you die late game and you have this fast enough, you're getting surrounded by the team, so you're just another kill.
I kind of noticed that while I was watching it. I was kind of like, man, people, like, if you get caught, you're just dead. Like, which is true in League to a point. Like, it depends on your champion, but, like,
But yeah, I was having a lot of fun just playing spots. Like, oh, Shadow Shaman, well, it's a Troll Shaman.
Yeah.
And there's an Orc Blade Master. There's a dude named, I think, Axe, who's just, I'm an Orc with an Axe.
It's Rengar.
There's a Bat Rider.
Yeah, which is a Bat Rider from WoW. Yeah. Or, well, from Warcraft.
Yeah.
The World of Warcraft. You could still say it is from the World of Warcraft.
Venomancer is a fucking Hydralisk.
Yeah.
There's several, like, there's Weaver, which is a Nerubian.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a little flyer dude who's a fucking little flying creature from...
What is it? Oh, God, there's one guy. He's like a lightning... He's a lightning Razor. Revenant is his name, Razor.
Razor, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow, that's a lightning revenant from...
Morphling is a water elemental.
It's, like, not even reskinned.
No.
It's like, in Blizzard, I think Blizzard fucked up the hardest when they let Dota go. They could have kept it for themselves, but they said, that's not our franchise, that's not our thing. You know, they could have been like, well, we're going to buy you out, and bought Dota. And then they wouldn't have had to make Heroes of the Storm because they'd own Dota. But instead, Steam owns Dota.
Yeah, and they make retarded amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the compendium, right?
Yeah.
The $250 of every sale went to upping the reward.
Yeah.
By the end of the International, the total prize pool was like $10.9 million.
Yeah.
So they sold how many fucking copies of the compendium?
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, I bought a compendium.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to read about what the shit was going on.
I always find it interesting about the different, like, the player bases of League and Dota and how they, like, interact. It's interesting because, like, Dota is, like, everybody, like, gets really excited about the International and they're like, oh my God. And then they donate all this money and buy all this shit for it. And you don't really see that with League, but, like... more people watch. Like, I look at Twitch, because I watch Liu on Twitch all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm. I know you do.
She knows it, is, like, all the time.
It's like living with someone who's into football 24/7.
Yeah.
It's just this nonstop.
Which.
It's like having CNN on all the time.
Well, it's actually how I got back into League, because I hadn't played League since sometime in, like, season 2, and they're in season 4 now.
Uh-huh.
And I just hadn't touched it in a long time, because I never got very good at it. I never made it to level 30. Whatever, but I just stopped playing because I had other stuff to do, and then I started watching. I was like, oh, they have pro streams. Wow, like pro teams playing against each other with like shoutcasts and everything, mm-hmm. and like this is a thing. Like I knew it. I always kind of knew it was a thing, but then I watched it, and then I just kind of kept watching it.
And then I kept watching it.
But I know a lot about the game as a result because you watch the like. Pro the LCS streams, the League Championship Series streams, mm-hmm. and then you watch like,
CNN all the time.
Yeah.
No, not SportsCenter all the time.
Yeah, it's basically.
But that's a valid way to kind of get the
Yes, I know, but it means I've got SportsCenter on all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's like I used to watch StarCraft 2. I was terrible at StarCraft 2, but I'd watch the players, and then it kind of got very samey, and I was like, this is boring.
Yeah. That's actually my problem with League sometimes in the pro scenes, is they'll play the same, like, set. Like, there's basically three champions for every role that are valid.
Yeah.
One of them will get banned, and the other two will get picked for both teams.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in, like, the jungle and top lane, there's, like, a couple champions that are really, you know, they're the flavor of the month. They're in the meta, and it's a very strict meta game.
These are the ones that are acceptable, don't play any other than that's bad.
If you're playing someone else, you're doing your own. Well, it's kind of the same way with the International. It's like you'd always see the same. All right, well, there's Doom.
Yeah,
there's Razor. Like, there's, you know, Batrider.
Yeah, it was like Doom was first picked in every game. It's like if that champion is first picked in every game, you need to nerf that champion. Like, there's something wrong if the pros are picking it first every game and it's never getting banned because they're always going to first pick it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
But then you'd have people like Razor get banned all the time, and sometimes Shadow Shaman get banned. And it's just interesting to see how it changed. But then, like, Morphling was always banned.
Yeah.
Because Morphling is...
That's kind of my only problem with the watching the pro, like, actual pro streams, like the League streams, is they play the same sets of champions. But then I like watching the pro players, like, they'll do their individual streams. Like, I'm always watching one of the players from Dignitas. I'm a cutie pie. And, yeah, he's funny as shit. And I'm always watching his stream, and, like, he plays solo queue a lot, or he'll duo with other pro players, and, like, just watching him play the, like, you know, if I was good enough, I could get in a solo queue game against him. You know, like, that sort of thing. It's kind of like, it's more like watching the real game.
Yeah.
And it's way more interesting, and then he'll bullshit and screw around, but, like, they actually talk about, like, hey, this is what item you build, this is why you do it, don't do this, you're an idiot if you do this. You know, like, this is why you never do this, this is why you always do this. Mm-hmm. And I've learned a lot about the game that way, and it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, the newcomer stream that they did this year for the International was pretty good, though.
I tried watching it, and they were all just like, bloop, 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 bloop. And I'm like, I still don't understand anything you're fucking saying.
Oh, is it kind of like the Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah?
Yeah, it was kind of like, womp, 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 BKB. I'm like, what the fuck's BKB? Use the full word.
Yeah,
you're a fucking noob stream.
You could actually go and open the shop, and you can look at items in the game while you're streaming. Like, Black King Bar. Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Like, and I know, like, Aghanim's makes your ulti stronger. Because yeah. I played Dota for a while. Not much. We're getting the time signal.
Yeah, we're getting the time already.
Sorry we yapped about bullshit.
No, I'm just saying, it's like...
We'll have to bullshit about Vidya another time. We're actually going to go meet a friend of ours for his birthday. And we'll be back for part two. Sancero, and we'll actually answer emails and stuff.
You can come back if you want.
No, I should go do homework.
So we'll be back, and I'll play a song, and then we'll be back to actual talk about relationship stuff. We'll find
something to put in your ass.
Yeah, we'll find something to put in your butt, and actually,
and not in Sancero's ass.
Pound Sancero's ass.
God damn it.
Pound Sancero's ass.
Fucking three people today, or not today? There's like one guy today, and a couple people through the week.
As they found
the pound hashtag Sarah's ass.
No, it's pound Sarah's ass.
Yeah, so, whatever.
We'll be back. And we're back. All right, this week... Food. Yes, really, really good food. Let's see, this week from Adam and Eve, we're going to keep it simple. I won't say keep it straight because it's, you know, it goes the other way. This week we're doing anal beads. They've got a variety up for about the same price. It's $9.95. This week, however, we're doing the Adam and Eve X10 anal beads. They are purple because, well, why not? They've also
They're got epic blue. Quality.
You know, so they have, like, got beads for any color that you may want to possibly stick in your ass. Just saying.
Remember, it's not like pull starting a lawnmower.
Yeah, it's 4.5. Yeah. Do not put your bag into it when you're, you know. Rip. So these have 79 reviews. They're 4 stars. I don't know, you know, they're pretty much basic ale beads. They're little beads. You put them in your butt. You pull them out at various times, either when you're climaxing or just as fun going in and out. They're anal beads. We have a coupon code. It's not KNOT. It gets you half off an item and it gets you free shipping. On average, they want about $8 shipping, so that shaves $8 off and then cuts off half item. Most items fall into that. Not everyone. Some of the super high end deluxe.
Yeah, the super fancy stuff does not.
But most of the fancy toys I like fall into that does not qualify, but, you know, this does. So, you can get some pretty damn cheap shit to put in your butt, as opposed to come out of your butt. But. So, yeah, get yourself some anal beads, stuff them in your butt, have a good time.
Yep. Yay. AdamandEve.com. Happy fapping.
It's .com or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. So
we don't have really good taglines for
that's all right though. So we have a
I don't know what this thing is doing.
Three emails this week because we've been in the process of trying to get everything fixed. The last week's episode didn't get up until last night. Then the feed didn't work. Then blah blah blah. But it's all working now. Thank goodness.
We fixed it.
Our MP3 feed now has every episode up to date. Our AAC feed in iTunes is now back up to date. Did you know we have a 4.5-star review? We have 4.5 stars on iTunes?
Really?
Yeah. What the fuck, man? So
people who rate us like us?
I'm like, what the fuck? I went and looked. For this show, I have never really gone to iTunes and looked.
Yeah, we haven't driven people to go to iTunes and rate us.
Yeah, because it's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, we're a bunch of perverts. We're not talking... We give solid advice, but we're never, like, promoting ourselves. We don't promote ourselves. It's just not how we roll.
Dog people, fucking.
But, yeah, I was having to fuck around with the feed on iTunes, and I was like, wait a minute, we're actually fairly highly rated. So if you like the show, go to iTunes and give us a review. That's kind of cool. And if you don't like us, well, you know, why are you listening?
Because some people like pain and they like listening to things that they hate.
Yes.
I don't know why. I personally don't do that, but, you know.
We can steal something from my other show and call it 5-star iTunes Furries.
Oh.
Give us a 5-star review. We'll call your name out in the show.
Really? Huh. Okay.
We could. I don't know. we'll see if people actually do that. So anyways, you can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. And
we got a Tumblr, Notcast.
We have Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. You can send us messages anonymously via the Tumblr.
You can tweet at us.
You can tweet at us, which is not likely to get us information, but you'll get a response.
It might not be the response you're looking for.
Well, people can tweet at the account and we'll talk to them, but it's, you know, 140 characters is kind of limiting.
Yeah.
So we have a few emails this week, and we have an idea for next week we'll reveal at the end. So let's just get to the emails. Let's bang on the table, Shiva.
I'm sorry.
So this one's titled, Outside Looking In, Banging My Head on the Window. Dear Notcast crew, I've been listening to your podcast for weeks, was introduced by a fur from Oz about a month ago, and never felt the need to write in until now. I apologize to turn into a wall of text, especially if Shiva winds up reading this.
You're safe.
On to the meat. I should stipulate this advice is regarding a friend, not me. Variables here are A, the female, and H, the male.
Okay, so we're setting up the math equation here.
Yes, all of us are fully cooked, older than 25, me being the youngest at almost 28.
I love that. I hadn't heard that term. I like that, fully cooked.
Yeah, well, basically, you don't stop growing and maturing into an adult until you're 25.
Oh, fully cooked.
I met A while I was in college. From that point until now, our relationship has been platonic. As neither of us are interested in each other, she likes guys, I like twinkie guys and androgynous-looking girls, which she most certainly isn't. We're pretty much best friends and spent many long walks together, or long talks together. However, she graduated before me, stupid double major of mine, and left for her home country. During college, she met her boyfriend, H, and they left together. All's well that ends well. Or so we thought. There was friction from the get-go, though in the beginning it was minor. However, it got worse over time. For the sake of privacy, I'll add a postscript to the bottom with details. TLDR version, H was a fucktard and screwed up horribly. A cut him some slack. H lather rinsed repeated his fuck-ups. A gave him more slack, and I told her to hold her, and I tried to hold her together through it was international calls and messages. It didn't work too well. The situation stands thus. A can no longer stand living with H, or interacting with him. H still wants to work things out, and I'm of the opinion this is a clear DTMFA situation. She, however, refuses to listen. She thinks her life will come to a halt if she does. Finances, and she doesn't make enough to support herself and go to school. She even wants to buy a house and start a business with him. I was opposed to this and thought it would be better for her to separate, find a cheaper place or move home, or find alternative school options, or just save and go to school. I'm no stranger to hard times. Second postscript with details, and I know how frustrating it is. He added two postscripts, but they're not to be read on air, so I have to...
Yeah, I understood.
I know how she feels like no one worries about her. Her family thinks she did something to drive H to do what he did.
But that's fucked up.
And she doesn't think my idea makes sense. I know there's not much I can do about this, and as I'm not anywhere local to her right now, so all I have are words. I was wondering if there's an option I overlooked, or if my suggestion was bad. I'm hoping the wise ones in Knockcast will shed some light into this strange situation. I hope enough details are provided for your deliberations. Even if it doesn't make it into full Aether Waves, I would appreciate a reply with your inputs. Also, I've noticed the site hasn't been updated as of this mail. The links on Twitter don't seem to work for me, so I don't know if it's the interwebs or not. Hopefully I'll be able to get the newer episodes soon. Thank you for your time, and keep doing what you do. A frustrated wolf, Cade. That was just our website being retarded. It's been fixed as of last night, July, 22nd or so?
Let's see.
I was working on it late into the night. So this is a clear-cut situation of DTMFA. Now, this happens a lot, where no, shit will get better once we're married. No, it won't.
No.
And even if they're not talking about marriage, they're talking about getting a house and
long-standing ties
and opening a business. That's almost more than a marriage, really.
Getting into business, yeah.
Getting into a business and getting into that, you know, fiduciary entanglement. And purchasing a house where, you know, a 30-year loan is involved. Yeah, this is a situation. If she can't stand living with him or interacting with him, why the fuck is she wanting to buy a house and open a business with this person? That's not how shit works. Unless she really just wants to be miserable for the next X years.
I mean, you can give this advice all you want. I mean, and it's like we said in prior episode, you can give all the advice, you can state your opinions, but there comes a time to, you said your piece, they're not listening, you gotta kind of let them make their own choices. And it's really frustrating, it really is, but they are adults to make their own mistakes, and you can only voice your opinion. And they're going to do whatever the hell they want anyways. So, it sounds like you've stated your piece. It's kind of up to her to, you know, take it or leave it or anything else.
Yeah. And this guy's in a situation that's kind of fucked up itself. So, as I'm reading the postscripts.
Holy shit, man. I hope you're okay.
You can try all you want and tell her all you want. But if she's not going to listen in the end, it's her own misery. You know, you've made your point to her, and you're concerned for her happiness, but if she doesn't want to pare down and, you know, save up, I mean, it sucks to, you know, lose a chunk of income, but purchasing a house and opening a business together, which is, you know, opening a business is a massive gamble.
It is.
Just saying.
It also depends on what size of business. If it's like a little Etsy thing, you know.
No, well, I mean, even then, I mean, not Etsy, but if you're opening a business and buying a house,
yeah.
those are large investments of money that are going to eat away at whatever money you already have.
It really depends on, like I said, scale of business.
It,
some are not
it
that.
It sounds like she's taking a bad situation and making it worse voluntarily if she goes through with this.
Yeah.
But, like Shiva said, you can only tell her this so many times before she starts cutting you out, and then, you know, where is she going to be then? So, I think we're on your side here, Cade. I don't know what else to tell you, though, because, yeah, I'd dump that fucker, especially based upon the postscript.
Mm. Okay, let's see. Let's see, my turn.
Yep.
Oh, God. Hi, Tetromino. I think that's me.
Tetromino.
Satellite Relay Station U. Spell Checker, Fuzz, Puppet Launcher, Panther, and Great Beard Overlord. That's the same person. Except the beard is long gone. But, yes.
Thankfully.
I'm not really asking any questions or anything this time, just giving you guys the great news. I finally got my first job, $2.25 above minimum wage, and moves up to another 75 cents after 90 days. I'll also be getting at least 40 hours per week with a mandatory overtime. I've been looking for a job for almost 4 years now, so how did I suddenly land a full-time job that pays pretty good? I took your advice. I applied at the chicken plant I didn't want to work at. I was supposed to work 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., which are my regular waking hours anyways, and I don't work in an area that smells too bad. All I have to do is inspect the packing material for holes, and if it's hole-free, I put it in the tray and push it down the conveyor belt. I should easily be able to make it to AC next year if I can get the time off. Things have really been rough at home money-wise, so it's great I'm finally employed, especially since being all but two or three of my problems right now are money-based. I was so happy when I got the job that I cried when I got it. I've never cried out of happiness before. So things are really looking up. I can't express how grateful I am for you guys giving me the final push I needed to go for the job. Anyway, though, I have to wrap this up. Today is my first day at work, and I'm leaving early. Got to make a good impression. Handling even more cock, Legion Bunny. P.S. My vote for sexiest voice has to go to Panther's Beard.
Yay! We're helping!
I'm glad to hear you finally got something that'll really pay decently, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting overtime, that's, you know, you're getting time and a half, and yeah, working at a chicken plant's not the most luxurious thing, and you're working a weird shift, but you know what? That's fine. You've got a job. You've got money coming in. You can
and
work with it.
At this point, it's, you know, make a good impression. You know, do everything they ask. Do it willingly. Do it promptly. And take a lift, kind of pick your head up. Look at the business as a whole. It's like, why is this important? When it comes to a job, it's important not to just get sucked into the mundanity of your position. If you want to make it, at least get something to start putting on your resume and building, it's kind of a matter to look as a business as a larger, see how you fit in, see how you can make it better, and then go from there. And that's usually how you get tapped for raises, that's how you get promotions. You look beyond yourself, and you try to understand, and then you try to improve upon.
Mm-hmm.
And if the boss says no, you know, they say no, and it's frustrating. As in, like, you make a suggestion, and it's not taken. Usually, sometimes it's been made before, and they've had to discard it for money's sake, for other things. It doesn't mean that it's not valid, it just means it's not in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I've just known many people where they make a suggestion, management doesn't take it, and they're personally offended. It doesn't mean that it wasn't regarded. It just means that there's enough cons when it to say that they can't do it, whether it's money, time, labor. They've already tried it, and it didn't work. You know, or else corporate's too far up the chain to make any changes. So, but good on you. I'm very, very glad to hear that.
And, like, that's one of the things where you talk about, you know, jobs people don't necessarily want to do, but then you've got, like, if you drive down 12 here in town, there's the Frito-Lay plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, packaging machine operators, third shift, like $21.50 an hour or something ridiculous like that.
Because nobody wants it, but
it's
they pay for it.
And I'm like, I can be nocturnal. If I ever had to go get a job that didn't require a lot of, like, work experience, I mean, hey, I've I've got my little associates in science, and I've been a housewife for, like, almost, not quite at, no, 6 or 7 years now. But, like, I could go do that. I'll go be nocturnal and make a bunch of money and package chips, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I just was like, it's the jobs that not everybody necessarily wants to do, but if you're the right kind of person, you know, you can be nocturnal, you can, you know, yeah. you don't have to worry so much about, you know, you don't have, like, a crap load of friends or anything. You know, I could see it. Let's see. I'm actually trying to look. Full-time packaging. I'm trying to find it.
What, the Frito-Lay?
Yeah, just the Frito-Lay's full-time packaging. Full-time packer. Pretty sure that's the one they're always advertising for.
It's got to suck in other ways, but yeah.
I mean, you're
it's still $30 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're getting overtime or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's not apparently it.
And once you get one job, it's easier to get another. And it's easier to just keep chaining on jobs. It's a leapfrog process. So, let's see. We really only have one left this week. Let's see. Did you want to read it? I'm afraid I'll slaughter it.
Okay. Yeah, give me a second. I was just trying to find the examples that they were listing. The Dallas, yeah, the part-time packer. Trying to see what...
Fudge packer.
I work at the fudge plant. What do you do?
I pack.
I'm a packer. Fudge packer. All right, so this one is from Jeeves. Motivation to start a relationship? Question mark. Dear Knockcast, since my most recent romantic relationship ended in the fall of last year, I have been happily single. I have spent my time working, hanging out with friends, shared some wonderful weekends and other occasions with friends with benefits, and pursuing my various hobbies and interests. I am now 25 years old, and with a home and career of my own, I feel like my life is starting to come together. Though I know being in my mid-20s still makes me on the young end of the scale, I'm starting to feel like the grown-up I've always imagined being, and I'm really enjoying that fact. Well, if you've got a house and a career at 25, you're doing all right.
I was going to say, and he's just hitting the fully cooked mark. 25 is one thing to generally kick over mentally, I find. It's,
yeah.
It's, you you're start like, making a lot I of am. Changes on when you hit 25.
Like, oh yeah, I am an adult. Huh.
Yeah. I should probably take care of shit.
In all this time, despite feeling much more confident and mature in myself as a person, I have not once felt the urge to start dating or seeking another serious commitment. Even now, writing this email to you, I am totally content with my lack of romantic situation. I almost feel as though starting to date or getting romantically involved with someone would take away from the time I enjoy spending on my own, relaxing at home, reading, writing, or baking, these being the activities I do to wind down at the end of a long day of work. My question to you all is perhaps a strange one, given what I have already said. It is not that I'm doubting my desire to be single, but from an objective point of view, I've found myself questioning why I'm so content staying out of any serious romantic entanglements. I love romance. I love the idea of meeting someone, falling in love, and spending the rest of my life with them. But right now, I love the idea of being alone and independent more. Do you think that my current desire to remain single and independent is just something I'm going through, now that I've reached a point in my life where I can appreciate the money I'm earning, the space I have to call my own, etc.? A phase that will pass eventually, and that I should just ride it out until such a time I do find myself wanting to get involved with someone again? Or should I stop focusing on my short-term self-indulgences and think more about what I want for my life in the long run, and try to make myself more available to romantic opportunities should they present themselves? Your opinions, as ever, would be greatly appreciated. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo from Scotland.
Honestly, I wouldn't worry too much about it. You're 25. Most of my romantic entanglements have evolved from someone who I meet that I like doing stuff with. And it becomes, I really like doing stuff with this person a lot. So in your case, it's not like I went out and sought it. It kind of became a friend that involved them more. And it's someone I wanted to come home and bake with. It's somebody I wanted to play games with, or the first person I want to read a new story. It's, so I wouldn't say go out and like, make yourself available and start saying, hey, you
look
know,
at me. I've got a house.
Accepting
I've got a
resumes,
job.
You know, it's just a matter of see where the friendships go. If you've got some person that's got that degree of fascination of, you know, this is the first person that comes to mind when I finished X, you know, hey, I baked something and I want them to try it. Or, hey, I finished a story. Do you mind read it? Your opinion is the most highest one. That's kind of where I think you might involve feelings. I mean, right now you've got your physical needs met occasionally by friends with benefits. You're content in your life. I would just be content. I almost think that the content person is probably the one that's most balanced to find a long-term partner, because they're not desperate. They're not really seeking. They're content to really just let friendships evolve into, you know, that person you want to do things with, which for me is what makes a good relationship.
Yeah, and I
agree. At least long-term.
You know, there's nothing wrong with being happy, content, and single. You know, like Shiva said, you're getting it with friends with benefits. You don't, you know, you have your own space. You have your own hobbies. You don't have to accommodate any other person.
And if you find
what you want to do, and like Shiva said, if you have someone that wants to do these same things with you and it evolves into a relationship, great.
Or you want to have them over to, you know, hey, come let me cook for you. Or, you know, I enjoy conversation with you. Let's come over, watch a movie, and spend all night yakking. It involves into overnight, and it's like, oh shit, where's the time gone?
Yeah.
That's kind of where these things...
Yeah, I mean, that's really the best way to get a relationship. And if you go out looking desperate, or you're not going to have any luck.
Or you might have luck, but it's usually...
bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
So, probably... I mean, be happy. Be glad you have your space. Be glad you have money. And enjoy yourself. 25, you're still young. As I'm only 6 years old.
Yeah, and to be fair, unless you're going out, I hate to say this, but I believe that you are primarily, I don't know, you might be bi too, but if you're primarily gay, it's not like you've got a real biological, you know. When you're a heterosexual couple and you're a woman and you're heading towards 30, you're thinking, it's like, oh, shit, I got to have a kid sometime.
I got to pop me out a baby.
In the next decade, I need to find someone, and then we have to establish a relationship, go through all the dating, then get married. So if you're single at 25, and you probably are going to be looking at another 4 years before you start having a kid, there's a little bit more pressure, because girls can only have children within a fairly narrow window once you become an adult and, like, financially solvent.
Yeah.
So, but if you're not looking for kids, or to be fair, guys are viable a lot longer than girls are. I mean, just enjoy. You've got no real reason to rush. Stop, smell the roses, smell the daisies, and whatever you want to smell. And go from there. But that's my opinion. Take with it what you will.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're doing all right, you're happy, ain't nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I mean, good job.
Yay!
You're happy, you're self-actualizing.
You're about what we try to tell people to get to before, you know, and don't worry about finding...
You don't have to hinge your self-worth on having a relationship with another person.
Exactly. And you're not lonely, so don't worry about it. All right, so next week.
So next week, questions too dumb to ask. Is there a question that you thought that if you asked, we would laugh at you? We're going to solve that problem, and every email that's sent and every Tumblr ask that's sent will be treated anonymously next week.
So if you've got something silly to ask, you know, maybe some... burning question, you, by all means, go for it, and we will answer them. I can't say how seriously we'll answer them, but we'll answer them.
Yes.
God help us. So, send it to us. It's notcast@foxstuntverse.com, or you can Tumblr us. Again, notcast on Tumblr, and ask away. Ask the dumb, dumb questions you wanted to know. Okay.
Yep. So, other than that, we will be back next week. And hopefully Fuzz will be back. He's been feeling good this week.
Yeah. And we might be able to get, depending on the amount and hilarity of our questions, we might, maybe we can find people to come and answer questions. So.
Thank you.
So yeah, you can ask drag questions. We might be able to bait him in.
Girl.
So, and that includes, if you've got questions about girls, I'll handle those as much as I can. I'm not much of a girl.
So, on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.